It was 8 years ago when Ford chairman Bill Ford introduced his choice for CEO, an outsider. And how? 37 years at Boeing, not a minute at a car company. That new CEO was Alan Mulally. As Mulally prepares to hand over the CEO job to Mark Fields next Tuesday, the reviews are in, and those who doubted the wisdom of that hire are now admitting they got it wrong, and Bill Ford got it very, very right. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes now steps up to admit he was one of the doubters. And Daniel, I can tell from your column today you are very pleased to have been proven wrong about Alan Mulally.
Oh, yeah, I got no problems with being wrong. I mean, that's part of what goes with the territory from time to time in this line of work that I'm in. Yeah, I can remember distinctly writing a column on the first day when Alan was introduced and basically making the point that I think a lot of your listeners know is that, you know, the history of the Detroit auto industry is littered with the bodies of outsiders who came in and washed out in one way or another, both at mid-level jobs, more senior-level jobs, and near the top. And I think it's safe to say that based on that past, why would you not conclude that that was going to happen to Ford as well under Alan Mulally? But, of course, I didn't know much about how Alan operated at the time. And it is true that when Bill Ford read that column, he threw it across the room in disgust and said, I'm canceling the Detroit News. It's, in fact, chronicled in my colleague's book, Bryce Hoffman's American Icon. But quickly became clear to some of us that Alan was a different kind of cat. And the way in which he managed, the way in which he approached the people who were there, the very direct ways in which he told them that Ford had been going out of business for a very, very long time, he did it in a very nice way, and he smiled when he said it, but the message was unambiguous. Mm. And he did a lot of that kind of stuff.
Kind of set the stage for us and just take us back 8 years and kind of spell out what were the problems Ford was facing when Alan Mulally became CEO.
Well, I think Ford faced a very critical juncture. You could argue, if you put yourself back in that time, that Ford was likely on the road to bankruptcy first. So a phrase that I've used and others have used is that Ford failed first. The only thing is that it didn't actually fail. And they began the process of trying to raise money and essentially borrow against the company to get a pot of money to restructure the house, or excuse me, the company, kind of like you would do with a home equity line to try and refurbish your own home,
mm-hmm.
Except this was $23.5 billion. And Alan Mulally made it very clear to Bill Ford in his discussions that he wasn't going to take the job and come to the company unless that money was available, and that they were going to be able to move ahead with that. And one of the first things he did as CEO was to talk to investors and persuade them that this was the way to go and lay out his plan. But Ford was in really dire straits, and Alan was really the shot that Bill Ford wanted to make. It was on again, then it was off again, then he dispatched his top HR guy out to Seattle to get him back, and basically was told, don't come back here until you come back with Alan Mulally.
Wow.
And a signed contract. And it was their long-term play, and at one point when it fell apart, I think Bill and other people close to him were very despondent that this they didn't really have a plan B. They didn't see another candidate who could do and undertake the kind of job that needed to be done at Ford Motor Company. It's important to note that Alan was heading the commercial aviation division of Boeing when 9/11 happened. And, you know, that the chilling effect on the aviation business and on was dramatic. And he had to really tear that whole business up. And it got a lot smaller after 9/11 at Boeing. So he'd had some experience dealing with industrial restructurings of iconic kinds of companies. And you can count on one hand maybe the kind of people that have that kind of experience and also have got the kind of management style that is effective. I mean, Alan did not come in to Ford Motor Company and wholesale fire a bunch of executives. As I point out in the column today, and I pointed it out before, you could count on one hand the number of senior executives who were cashiered under Alan. Yes, there were other people who retired, but in terms of people who, based on our reporting, were somehow either had a clash with him or basically had to go, it was a handful of people.
And there's usually that house cleaning. Everybody kind of hunkers down and expects kind of a wholesale brooming when the new boss takes over. So what is to learn from that? What can other companies learn from that?
Well, I think one thing that other companies can learn from that is that oftentimes people will blame, quote, the culture of a company. When in some cases the problem may not so much be culture as it is leadership. One of the things I've learned covering these companies in this town over a very long period of time is that companies that have these kinds of problems, usually they can be attributed to leadership and management problems. Same thing with bad relationship with unions. I mean, I don't think inherently employees want to continually fight with their employers. And oftentimes, whether or not they're having tensions and confrontations with their employers has a lot to do with how effectively the employers are managing the relationships with their various constituent groups. And I think you saw in Al Mulally a guy who understood that stability was important, and one of the things that goes along with stability is leadership direction. And when you boil a lot of things down of Alan, it was very simple. It was very not simplistic, but it was simple. Mm-hmm. What he was trying to do, it was very clear. People knew what the goals were, and for 8 years he repeated them over and over and over again, to the point that the media and a lot of his employees just and Wall Street were tired of hearing it. But it was the simplicity of his message that got everybody on the same page.
What was that message?
The goal was to make Ford Motor Company profitable for all, and they were going to get the company to the right size, and they were going to build vehicles for the market that existed. Meaning, they're not going to overproduce and then sell them at deep discounts. They're going to right size the company, both in the United States and around the world, to market demand as it exists today, not as Ford wanted it to be or Ford thought it ought to be.
So with the 8 years of this kind of leadership, and as you say, it's an 8-year leadership clinic, and this simple, clear message, contrast Ford's condition today from where Alan Mulally found it 8 years ago.
Well, I often think of it that in the leadership, and it's important to note that the CEO before Alan was Bill Ford.
Right.
And before that was Jack Nasser. And I think if you jump back to Jack Nasser, I mean, I think Jack took a look under the hood, if you will, of the Blue Oval in the United States, and it was such a disaster that they just closed the hood. Mm. And so he went out and he bought Volvo, and he bought Land Rover because he already had Jaguar, and he bought aftermarket repair companies, and he bought all sorts of other things because he didn't want to deal with the underlying problem, because the underlying problem was so difficult. It was restructuring, effectively, brutally restructuring Ford Motor Company in its hometown and in its home country that had all sorts of implications for employees and implications for unions and all sorts of other things that I think a whole generation of automotive executives in this town just basically didn't want to deal with. And you have a company like Ford or like General Motors that the predominant share of their profitability is coming from their home market. And that hasn't been the case in this town since going back to the 60s, where it was the United States market that was driving the profitability of the companies. And now you have a situation where I think they're going to continue to be profitable. And if the market continues to expand in terms of how many vehicles they're selling, that's just a recipe to print money. Now, that creates a whole other set of problems, which I think are going to be landing on Mark Field's desk as he assumes the job as CEO on Tuesday.
Which leads me to wonder, do you believe Mark Fields will be able to continue what Mulally built? And with that, another question, has Mulally excised what you called the demons of the past?
I think we can't answer that question right now. I think you look at it right now and you want to say yes, and I would say to you, Ford feels like a different company a lot of the time when you write about it and you cover it and you talk to people. Is it totally different? I don't know, because I think when you have a change agent like Mulally and the velocity of change that he was driving, I think that has a tendency to tamp down a lot of the bad kind of cultural and historical tendencies inside these companies. But now you're going to get on the other side here, and you're going to have a guy who is now running the company who spent his entire career at Ford, effectively. And he was part of the old guard. And I think when, in the early days of Mulally, I think a lot of the handicapping thought that Mark Fields wasn't going to survive. And there are stories that have been recounted publicly, both in our newspaper and by me, and also by my colleague in his book, American Icon, that talk about you know, Fields having some very frank conversations with Mulally early on in his tenure. But as time went on, it became clear that, I think to Mark, that Allen's way works and that it does bear fruit. And he became a much more ardent disciple of Allen. And nearer the end of Allen's tenure, he used to talk about Mark and say, look at this guy. Look at what he's done. Isn't, you know, it was almost like a proud father talking about his son, about that this that he's matured and he's developed and he's now ready, and then they ultimately made the decision that he was. But I can tell you that I've talked to people at the companies or at the company who have pulled me aside at various events and expressed some concern about the change and how they're not so sure. And it's a tough assignment for Mark Fields to follow Al Mulally. I mean, I think he's going to go down as one of the greatest CEOs this industry has seen in terms of results. And those are very large shoes to fill.
Detroit News Business columnist Daniel Howes. As always, thank you, Daniel.
Thank you.